Get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Vic and Sade, written by Paul Reimer. Vic and Sade is brought to you by Crisco, the pure all-vegetable shortening. It's digestible. And now here's Zella Lane. Say, Zella, did I hear you mention something about a moral victory?
Oh, you know how hard some people are to convince. You talk yourself blue and you just don't get any place. Well, I have a friend who's really quite an excellent cook. But would she ever put her hand to a pie crust? No. She said she was one of those people who just couldn't make a pie. Now, I knew if this woman would try Crisco and the Crisco pastry method, she'd sing a different tune. Because, you know, with Crisco and this pastry method, you can't miss turning out pie crust that's every bite tender and flaky. Yes, it's mouth-watering crust every single time you make a pie with Crisco and this pastry method. Well, the other day I just started a Crisco crust for a chocolate cream pie when this woman dropped in. Well, it seemed like a grand chance to prove how sure the Crisco method is. So I had her try her hand, following directions printed on the Crisco label. And when that Crisco pie came from the oven with the crust so nicely browned, she could hardly believe she'd made it. And then we cut a piece for her to sample. And was she delighted? Of course, I mentioned that pastry made with pure all-vegetable Crisco just couldn't bother digestions. Well, you know, she could hardly wait to get home and make a pie for her family. Supposing you try Crisco and Crisco's pastry method. See what perfect pie crust you get every single time. Oh, and friends, right after the program, I'm going to tell you how you can get Crisco's brand new wartime cookbook. Don't forget to listen. And now back to Vic and Sade.
Well, sir, the evening meal has been over only a little while as we enter the small house halfway up in the next block now. And here in the living room, we find three gentlemen of our acquaintance. Vic, Uncle Fletcher, and young Russell have lately put away hearty meals, and they're comfortably and lazily discussing this, that, and the other thing.
Even the measliest of strawberries is delicious once a man mices them up with his knife and fork.
Oyster Cracker's cousin Lombard, that resides in Green, and tells a side-splitting story about eating strawberries.
Gee, I hope you don't repeat it.
No, don't repeat it, Russell, honey.
Well, fine. Excuse me for living.
No, Vic, a fella can still locate Indian arrowheads in the Mississippi River bottoms if he works at it close.
How do we get to talking about that?
There's Indian arrowheads by the hundreds still buried in the mud.
How'd we get to talking about that?
I don't know.
Ernie McDisher there in Clinton, Iowa, was about as determined a fellow as you ever want to see. And he located 5 Indian arrowheads in one afternoon.
Where's your mother?
I don't know.
She's not still washing separate dishes, is she?
I don't know.
You don't know much of anything, apparently.
Uh-uh.
Ernie McDisher said to his wife after breakfast one morning, he said, "Velma, I'm going over on the Illinois side of the river and skulk along the bank, and when I come home tonight, I'll have a batch of Indian arrowheads, a catfish, a mess of strawberries, a four-leaf clover, and a bicycle sprocket wheel."
Well.
And he done it.
Imagine.
He spent the day skulking along the riverbank on the Illinois side there in Fulton. And by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he was home again, and his gunny sack contained a batch of Indian arrowheads, a catfish, a mess of strawberries, a four-leaf clover, and a bicycle sprocket wheel.
What was this man's business?
Business?
Uh-huh.
Ernie McDisher's business?
Yeah.
He never had no business. He lived in a boxcar there on the Iowa side of the Mississippi below Clinton there.
Oh, uh-huh.
Married Velma Scoffbergle. Velma Scoffbergle is a cousin to Pelter Unbleed across the alley.
Is that a fact?
Pelter Unbleed's coming over here directly.
Yeah?
I put him privy to the fact I was taking supper with my niece and her family, and he said he'd likely poke his snoot in the doorway long enough to say hello.
Uh-huh.
He also wants to tell me the progress he's made in the matter of removing the odor from hyena grease.
Hmm.
I'm having company after a bit myself, Uncle Fletcher.
No, Ernie McDisher never had no business. He spent his time skulking along the river there.
What company are you having?
Smelly Cops Cummins passed to spend the evening.
He cut open a catfish one time and found a dime.
Quite a coincidence.
Why?
I'm having company myself.
Had that dime made into a watch fob.
What company are you having?
Why, Skeever and Stacy Yap.
Where's the half-wit watch fob to this day?
Quite a coincidence, Uncle Fletcher.
Everybody admits that. Everybody up and down the Mississippi River.
I'm talking about something else.
That's right.
You happened to mention that you were having company after a bit. Then Russell mentioned he was having company. And I remembered I'm having company. We're all having company.
Hi, everybody in the living room, are they?
Here's Mom. Hi.
Greetings, Dr. Sleech. Where you been?
I skipped over next door to Miss Donahue's.
We were getting fronty.
I bet.
Delicious supper, Sadie, honey.
Yes, you told me.
Every helping hit the spot.
Just delighted you managed to piece out a meal. Look, everybody, company's coming past in a few minutes.
Company?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hey.
I was just telling Vic and Russell here, Sadie, honey, about Ernie McDisher there in Clinton, Iowa.
Oh, were you? Uncle Fletcher, we got company coming past directly.
Yes, I know. Pelter Unbleed.
No, not Pelter Unbleed. Miss Oglesby, round the corner. She's at Mr. and Miss Donahue's now, and I imagine she'll be through with them and on her way here in the next few minutes.
Christmas cards?
What?
Miss Oglesby selling Christmas cards? Is she one
of
the...
You know what Miss Oglesby is doing. We've been expecting her every evening.
Oh, sure.
Uh-huh.
There used to be a bunch of Oglesbys residing in and around Freeport, Illinois. Subal Oglesby was a friend of mine. Maybe you were acquainted with Subal Oglesby's sister Grace, Sadie.
No, I don't believe I was. Look, are you fellas prepared to be particularly courteous and sweet to Miss Oglesby?
I'm prepared.
Because she's a little timid about what she's doing. She's determined to do the very best she can, but at the same time she's apprehensive she'll run into chilliness or people getting the notion she's prying into their private affairs.
Why should she take that attitude? Some person in every block, in every town and city in the United States is doing exactly the same thing. Holy smokes, she isn't.
I know, but you run into people as terrible sensitive, and Miss Oglesby is one of them.
I'm terrible sensitive myself. I'm the most sensitive half-wit that ever come down the pike.
You're in your own house, though. Miss Oglesby has got to visit every house in the block. Friends, relations, acquaintances, and even strangers. And none of them, of course, is her house, so she's at a disadvantage. So I want you fellas to smile and be just as sweet as you possibly can.
You're driving a numbskull woman's viewpoint into the ground, Zade. Miss Oglesby visiting every house in the block is a job that she's accepted. And a job that she
has... Yes, a job she's accepted and a job she has to make a good showing at. As far as that goes, it's not any more her job than it is the job of the neighbors she visits. That's what I say. Just because she rings our doorbell and gets asked in our living room doesn't mean we're doing her any favors. And it doesn't give us the right to act like we're doing her any favors either when we accept it. What you want, Uncle Fletcher?
Beg pardon, Sadie, honey?
Weren't you making notions at me like you wanted to say something?
I'll say something. As you may or may not know, Pelter Unbleed is attempting to remove the odor from hyena grease. When he comes over here after a while, I'll ask him to briefly describe
Pelter Unbleed coming over here?
Which he hopes.
When is Pelter Unbleed coming over here?
Sometime this evening.
No.
We're all having company, kiddo.
How you mean?
Dear little Russell is expecting a guest presently, and I'm expecting
two guests. What guest is this?
Smelly Clark. Well, Smelly wishes to pay a friendly call, and he wants...
Smelly can pay a friendly call some other time. He's certainly not going to pay any friendly calls while Miss Oglesby is here. What'd you start to say?
Merely that I'm having
Michigan,
a couple
Michigan,
of guys.
From Michigan, Michigan, and B.B. Bar, or stopping past after a bit?
Why, Skeever and Stacy Yap.
No.
Why, Skeever and Stacy Yap probably won't linger more than half an hour. Why, Skeever and Stacy Yap.
Miss Oglesby is here, Vic. We want no why, Skeevers, no Stacy Yaps, no Smelly Clarks, and no Pelter Unbleeds. Miss Oglesby will feel at enough disadvantage as it is.
Well, I'm sure Miss Oglesby don't expect the people up and down the block to roll out a red velvet carpet for her to walk on and shower with white grapes and violin solos.
No, she don't. But what she's doing, I'd hesitate to do, and she feels in a false position.
Well, why should she feel that? There's somebody in every block and in every city and town
yes,
in the United States.
Yes, she said that before, and I agreed.
No, I don't think that.
Please, I'm talking. No, Vic, you said that before, and I agreed. But here's the thing of it. Everybody's got this obligation facing them, and we all ought to work together on it. Miss Oglesby and the other men and women that have to visit every house in their block has got a little harder job than the rest of us, seems to me. So let's make it easy for them if we can.
It wasn't my thought to take a baseball bat and clout Miss Oglesby over the head with it.
But you appreciate what I'm talking about. Be grand, wouldn't it, if Miss Oglesby entered this living room and here was why Skeevers and Stacy Yops and Pelter Unbleed.
Okay.
Sadie, honey, to refresh your memory about Subal Oglesby's sister Grace there in Freeport, Illinois,
I'm sure I never knew her. When do you expect your friend Pelleran Bleed, Uncle Fletcher?
Expect him any minute. See, I put him privy to the fact that I...
Well, look, why don't you just saunter out and meet him in the backyard?
All right, Sadie. We can sit on the sister to live and visit.
Sure. Have a grand, jolly conversation.
My friend Smelly Clark...
And you go head off your friend Smelly Clark.
Oh, Mom, you're as hard as nails this evening.
Oh, boy, I'll say. Now, what are we going to do about you and your Y.Y. Skeebers and your Stacy Ops?
Oh, they won't arrive for hours yet.
You sure?
I know they won't get here till at least 8:30. Mm. Miss Ogilvy's business won't take but a few minutes, will it?
That's all.
Oh.
You agree with me, don't you, that in a thing like this, where everybody in the whole United States is concerned, a person ought to do their best?
Okay, kiddo, I agree with you.
Yeah, well, ish.
Sadie, honey, I was just telling Vic and Russell here about Ernie McKeith.
The minute the front door bell rings, you'll saunter out and back, huh?
Yes.
And you'll skip on off, too, huh, Willie?
Sure.
What'd you say you were telling Vic and Russell, Uncle Fletcher?
I was telling them about Ernie McDisher there in Clinton, Iowa, and what he said to his wife, Velma.
What did he say to his wife, Velma?
He said, Velma, I'm going over on the Illinois side of the river and skulk along the bank, and when I come home tonight, I'll have a batch of Indian arrowheads, a catfish, a mess of strawberries, a four-leaf clover, and a bicycle sprocket wheel.
Oh, and did he accomplish all that?
Sadie, honey.
Yes?
Ernie McDisher spent the day skulking along the bank of the Mississippi River there below Fulton, Illinois, and by 4 o'clock in the afternoon, his gunny sack contained a batch of Indian arrowheads, a catfish, a mess of strawberries, a four-leaf clover, and a bicycle sprocket wheel.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And now, here's Zella Lake.
Mind if I give you a reminder, friends? You see, I want you to have Crisco's new wartime cookbook. But time is short. This is the last week I can offer it to you. Recipes for Good Eating, it's called. 64 pages of Crisco recipes. Beautiful color photographs of foods. Even method pictures that show you lots of easy cooking tricks. Really, it'd be a shame to pass up this wonderful new cookbook. The recipes are so practical these war days. Grand Crisco dishes for low-cost meats, suggestions for dolling up leftovers, whole sections on delicious desserts. The one on pies includes Crisco's method for tender, flaky pie crust every time. And you know what else? This cookbook even lists alternate ingredients for recipes, should there be foods you can't buy. Why not write for a copy now? Print your name and address clearly. Mail it with 10 cents in coin and a Crisco label any size. Address Crisco, Department A, Cincinnati 1, Ohio. This offer is only good in the United States, and you'll have to allow 14 to 18 days for delivery, so send today for Crisco's new wartime cookbook.
Monday, July 3rd is a day to remember. Starting Monday, Glamour Manor, that sparkling new daytime show, brings you a full half hour with that lovable, laughable comedian, Cliff Arquette. There's comedy, music, fun for everybody at Glamour Manor. Over another network next Monday and every Monday through Friday. Check your local paper for time and station. And don't forget to listen to Vic and Say the next time. This is Ed Roberts saying good day for Crisco. It's digestible. This is the National Broadcasting Company.